Under the shadow of his wings, under the protection, the covenantal protection of our God. This is what the Lord has established for his people from the very beginning in calling those whom he had chosen into covenantal relationship. And it's really all about the whole of Scripture, the whole of salvation history, particularly with Israel. Is really about the people being scattered. That is, going out from under the protection of that covenantal covering. Being scattered and feeling and recognizing the judgment of God. And this is what we encounter in today's gospel lesson, in the Gospel of St. Luke, when Jesus, at Jesus' triumphal entry to Jerusalem. Remember that this is just prior to his arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, his passion, his brutal suffering, death, and eventual resurrection. But there, as he comes into Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, from the very place where he would later ascend following his resurrection, the Gospel of St. Luke, this is the 19th chapter, records that he weeps over the city. It's one of only two places in Scripture, in the Gospels, which indicates Jesus weeping. And of course, you probably remember the other place, one of the shortest verses in all of Scripture, Jesus wept, which was at just prior to the resurrection of his good friend Lazarus. But here is Jesus who is coming into the city. He knows that he is going to be given up and betrayed. He's going to be given over to sinners, given over to religious rulers who had become apostate, who had fallen away from the grace, the covenantal grace of God in Israel. And Jesus, in recounting the history of those who had been sent to them to call them back into relationship, to call them back into obedience, and being rejected, being killed, being stoned. Jesus, in seeing the future and knowing that in just a few short years, this glorious temple on the Temple Mount which Herod had built, not one stone would be standing upon the other. In 70 AD, we know that at the hands of, at that time, the pagan Roman Empire, Jerusalem, her temple, was completely leveled and destroyed. Not unlike what had happened previously. And in reading from the gospel, Jesus, in weeping, this is in verse 42, said, "If you had known even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." And coming out from under that covenantal protection and in becoming apostate, they were spiritually blinded. He said, "For the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." You did not recognize that the Messiah, all that God had promised in the old covenant, all that the prophets had declared through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was right before them. Truth incarnate, the Word of God, the Logos in the flesh, proclaiming truth, and yet they rejected him. They rejected him. I wanted to just briefly read the parallel passage from Matthew chapter 23. In this passage, Jesus is speaking metaphorically. It's very similar to how the Psalms proclaim this covenantal protection of God. But I want you to, in just preceding those verses, this is from Matthew 23, beginning in verse 34. It says, "Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in the synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar." He's speaking of Zechariah, the father of St. John the Baptist, who was murdered, ordered to be murdered by King Herod at the slaughter of the innocents when they could not find the Christ child. And going on, he says, "Surely I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation." And he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." As a hen gathers her chicks. Jesus is using maternal language and describing his desire that even in their apostasy, even in their having fallen away from the covenantal grace of God, even as they had become scattered spiritually speaking, even as he could foresee their destruction, yet he wept. He had a heart of a mother as a hen wanting to gather her chicks. And it's metaphorical, but it also speaks and is consistent with the metaphorical language of the covenantal covering of grace, of the protection that we enjoy. Listen to what some of the Psalms say. From Psalm 17, verse 8, "Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings." In Psalm 57, 1, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful unto me. For my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge." Psalm 61, verse 4, "I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings." Psalm 63, verse 7, "Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice." And then Psalm 91, verse 4, "He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." This continual language, this image of God's wings, his covering, is something that Jesus is drawing from Old Testament language. And he's using the maternal language of a hen. Even in the very careful description which God gave for the pattern of worship, at his presence, the mercy seat, it's covered with the wings of a cherubim. And there God resides. So this idea of covering and wings is something very key and central to our understanding. But Israel, in their unbelief and their rejection of all that the prophets had spoken, were scattered in their hearts. They no longer abided under that covenantal grace. And in thinking about this, we really have to be cognizant of the fact that as we now abide in the new Israel, the church, and especially the Holy Orthodox Church, we can very often in our own hearts become apostate, drift from under the protection and the covering of God's grace. I wanted to take us to the epistle lesson, which was chanted by Deacon Stephen this morning, from the 10th chapter of Paul's first letter to the Corinth. But I wanted to back up a little bit from where we began our reading, just to have the complete context of what St. Paul is saying. He's presenting, remember, this is a church in Corinth. This is the Holy Orthodox Church in Corinth. But they, in many ways, like Israel, within less than one generation following Jesus' resurrection, had started to sin and become scattered and apostate in their own hearts. And so he begins to call forth, St. Paul begins to call forth and reminding them of the covenantal history and the warnings that were brought about and the examples that were set. Beginning in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, St. Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the one cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." And of course, we know that St. Paul is making a reference to Israel's wandering, the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness following the Exodus from Egypt. But St. Paul is using this imagery and making a very clear connection with the grace and the covering that we have in the new Israel. That the cloud that followed them by day, was a cloud that shielded them from the sun, was representative of the Holy Spirit. The water was the water of baptism. And the rock, St. Paul says, that rock was Christ. And from that we receive spiritual drink, his precious blood. We feed on Christ in Eucharistic community. But this cloud that followed the tabernacle, that shielded them for the desert heat, representing the Lord's protection, was a shelter for them in that noonday sun. As a Celtic Northern European, I'm almost allergic to the sun. And I remember many years going down for firearms training at the Calvert Cliffs Nuclear Power Plant. At that time, when I was a lieutenant, I was one of the junior firearms instructors, and Captain Ralph Bell, Buddy Bell, of blessed memory, was the captain. And he was a Vietnam veteran. But if anybody went down there on the range without a hat on, without having the protection from the sun of a hat, he would bark at them, "Get a hat on! Only mad dogs and Englishmen stand out in the noonday sun without a hat." Apparently a reference to a 1931 song called "Mad Dogs and Englishmen." But in the same way that we can suffer the harm of the scorching noonday sun, especially in an area like the Sinai Peninsula, God in his grace, in his covering, allowed the people to abide under the shadow of his cloud, under the shadow of his wings. But Paul goes on to describe what happened when these people, when God's people began to become wayward. He goes on to say, "But with most of them," not just a few, but he says, "but with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents." And we can go down that checklist and we can say, okay, you know, I haven't committed sexual immorality. I haven't committed idolatry. But have we lusted in our hearts? We may not have been bowing down to graven images, but have we allowed our carnal desires, our affections, be turned from our affections toward Christ toward the things of this world, such that we really only live a Christian life for a couple hours on Sunday morning? But he goes on to say this in verse 10, "Nor complain as some of them also complain and were destroyed by the destroyer." And I would have to say that for almost all of us, that's a big old ouch. We may escape the judgment of God for the other things that we have in those other areas of our lives that perhaps we have kept ourselves unsullied. And yet just the mere sin of complaining, of grumbling, of murmuring, and especially the church teaches us, especially against our leaders, our bishops, our priests and clergy. But priests murmuring and mumbling and complaining about our bishops. He said, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And then finally in verse 12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall, so we may become self-righteous, believing that we have it all together. And unless we see ourselves as sinners in need of God's grace, unless we see ourselves as chief among sinners, then he said, take heed lest you fall. We are being called back each day, each and every day, to be under the wings of our Lord Jesus Christ, under his covenantal protection. This past Tuesday, we saw the horrible news accounts of a horrific explosion which destroyed, completely leveled the port of Beirut, Lebanon. This explosion was so great that the sound of it was heard in Cyprus, some 125 miles away. Over 300,000 people homeless, hundreds of people dead, some of them first responders. And it wasn't apparently a terrorist act, which is probably what most all of us thought at the beginning. No, this was an accident, a horrible, preventable accident. You see, the government of Lebanon had gone in and had told the port authorities that there was a large amount of ammonium nitrate that was being improperly stored in warehouses along that. They had been told to correct it, and yet evidently the corrections had never been made. They were culpable. They were neglectful. Did they intend to kill and to destroy? Of course not. And yet it happened. The explosion. The explosion which rocked all of Beirut, destroying, killing. You see, in the same way, we are warned. God gives us admonitions and examples from salvation history. And he's saying, don't miss this. Don't misunderstand the gravity of this. When you have fallen away from your faith, when you ignore the teachings of Christ, when you have not lived under the covenantal grace, the Eucharistic grace of the church with her prescriptions, not only does it destroy you, but it can destroy others. Let us be aware and wake up. Let us return with tears, with the godly tears of Christ who wept over Jerusalem. Let us run to the confessional with those tears, with that godly sorrow. For it is there, under the shadow of his wings, where we may find healing and restoration and forgiveness. But we just need to take heed. And let us not forget the grace that he offers under the shadow of his wings. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.